Open the Word of God this morning to the 8th chapter of St. John. I'm going to read one verse for you. This is in the midst of Jesus going through a lot of confusion, a lot of rejection by the Jews. And he was dealing with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and not only the Sadducees, but also the Jewish nation and the rejection of him. Jesus came into his own, but his own received him not. But Christ tried to convince them. He tried to deal with their rejection. He tried to deal with their doubt. On numerous occasions, he made statements to them, clear, emphatic statements about himself and how they needed to respond to who he is and what he would do. This is one of those statements found in the 8th chapter of St. John. This is a famous saying. It's one that's very familiar to all of us in the 8th chapter of John in verse 36. I want to speak to you this morning about living life on the divine level. We just came out of revival and our spirits are renewed. We have made some progress. We have gained some ground spiritually. We are on a higher level spiritually than we were a few weeks ago. And that's a good sign. That's encouraging for our church. And as we move to that higher level of serving God and worshiping God and being what we should be as a church, tragically, there are times where people begin to backslide away from that. We experience that as a church. Brother Lynn and I up in Huntingdon, we talk about this frequently where we see great spiritual progress and then a few weeks later we take a nosedive. That's scary. We should be able to maintain that spiritual level for at least a while where that we can see some great progress in the reaching of lost souls. Backsliding, in essence, is returning to an earthly perspective of life. When Christians backslide, when a church backslide, when believers backslide, what we do is we return to an earthly rather than a spiritual perspective of life. We have gained ground because we have begun to focus more earnestly on spiritual things. And when we focus on spiritual things, then God is pleased, we are moved, and we make progress in the work of God. Jesus said, if the Son makes you're free indeed. If the Son makes you're free indeed. And if we are free from worldly, and if we're free from carnal things, then we can see great progress in the work of God. And if we keep this particular passage of Scripture, the statement of Jesus Christ, in focus, if we keep it as part of our motto, if we keep it as part of our program as a church, if we maintain the understanding that Christ wants to set people free from sin and from the world and from depravity, then it might keep us from going back into those things that keep people from being saved. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul made a very clear statement. Turn there in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. He says, but now after that ye have known God, okay, you've experienced God. You know God. You've had a relationship with Him. You've come to a greater degree, a greater understanding of who God is and how He works and how He operates. He says, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, not only do we know about God, but God knows us. He interacts with us. We experience Him in our life. It's not just a one-way experience, but God comes into our life. We get to enjoy Him and experience Him as we live in the Christian realm, in this heavenly realm. He says, rather, not only do you know God, but God knows you. Now, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements? Of course, that's King James. Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Why would you go back into those things that keep you in bondage? Why would we return to those things that hinder us, that shackle us, and keep us restricted? Why would we do that? Why would somebody who knows God, experiences God, okay, return to these These earthly, beggarly, and I like the ESV. I've had 2 years of Greek in the master's, at the master's level. I'll tell you, this is a good translation, okay? Let me just share it with you. It calls them the worthless, elementary principles of the world. Why would you go back to that? Why would we want to go back to the worthless, elementary principles of the world, which enslave you and enslave the world in sin and drag them down into hell? Why would we do that? If we made progress, why would we ever go back? Especially in the heavenly realm. It's a blessed thing to sit together in heavenly places. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual gifts in heavenly places." And to be in those heavenly places is of great joy. And when we're there, yes, the Spirit of the Lord is with us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We're not shackled. We're not hindered. We're not encumbered by anything. We are serving God, and we're walking on a higher level, on a higher plane, and we need to maintain that high level of serving God. We need to maintain the marks of Christian liberty. Maintain, that's the title of my message. Maintaining the marks of Christian liberty. Now, Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. What is it possible for people to be free from? Well, the first thing is possible for people to be free from is the perils of sin. People can be set free from the perils of sin. I speak with a lot of people who don't know about this glorious liberator, Jesus Christ. They don't know about the perils of sin. There are people that are burdened down with great guilt. They're burdened down with great trouble of mind and of spirit. That's why our pharmaceutical industry is pumping out the medicine to keep people from thinking about the perils of sin. Listen, there's a great Savior who's able to set you free from the perils of sin. He can set you free from the guilt. He is a glorious liberator. Glorious liberator. And He's able to save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. I'm telling you, He can save you from sin. He's able to save them that from the uttermost. The Bible says, who come to God through Him. If you come to Jesus Christ, He can save you. He's able to save you. Able to save you from the perils of sin. Sin causes people to do some awful things. The longer we go down this road of immorality in our country, there's going to be a greater degree of guilt upon our citizens. People are going to realize the guilt because of the immorality and the kind of lives that they're living. And there's a weightiness. Guilt is a weighty thing. Guilt is a weighty thing. There's a sense of the guilt of the past that people have. I've dealt with people through the years. I remember going to the bedside of a lady who had great guilt over some hideous sins she had committed. And I remember Sister Evelyn and Sister Carol and myself, we went to her home, and she was laying in bed, and she was sick, and she didn't know if she's going to survive and live. And she said, I don't believe I can be released from the guilt of the terrible things that I've done. And we told her there was a great liberator, Jesus Christ, who could set her free. Boy, we got down praying. Y'all know how Sister Carol and Sister Evelyn get to praying? Oh man, we all three got on the floor there and we got to praying for her. Wasn't too long, she started raising that hand and shaking it and started shouting that Christ had set her free. Man, that's what I'm talking about. She had spent most of her life in Las Vegas. That's something else. But the point is this, no matter how deep the spots, no matter how dark the stain, the question is, can a leper lose his spots? Can an Ethiopian man change the color of his skin? Yes!
Yes, Jesus can cleanse you. Yes, Jesus can change you. Praise God. He can set you free from that. However damnable your iniquities. And now most of you weren't here Wednesday night when we went through what iniquities were in contrast to transgressions. Transgressions are like adultery, thou shalt not commit adultery. Or transgressions are stealing, thou shalt not steal. Transgressions are lying, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's breaking or transgressing God's law. Iniquities is double bent. We're talking about perversions. We know what that is, don't we? Perverts, perversions. Iniquities are the perversions of the mind and the perversions that people commit. And there's great guilt in those perversions. People soak those perversions with all kinds of substances to alter their thinking and alter their emotions. But listen, I'm telling you that there's a Jesus that came to seek and to save that which is lost. His arm is not short that it cannot save. No matter how far you have gone, you could be on the very fringes of great iniquities. And I'm telling you that Jesus can reach you and save you. Nobody's beyond the reach of grace. The God that I serve is the same God that was revealed by the great prophet Isaiah. And He is still mighty to save. Mighty to save. No matter how captive you are, no matter how far gone you may feel, I'm telling you about a Jesus this morning that sets the captive free. Yeah, Jesus said all manner. Everybody say all manner. These are the words of the Son of God. He said all manner of sin and of blasphemy shall be forgiven. That's what He said. Yeah, He can set you free from the guilt. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Yeah. So He delivers us and sets us free from the perils of sin. One of the great perils of sin is the guilt of sin. Secondly, He also delivers us from the penalty of sin. Jesus delivers us from the penalty and the punishment of sin. Now, I know that seems incredible. People sometimes question, how is that? If God, Jehovah, if Yahweh God is a righteous God and a just God, how is it that He's able to let you off scot-free? People question how that's possible. If He's a God of laws and He's stern concerning His laws and His justice, how is it that it doesn't demand, if He's just and righteous, how is it that we're not punished for our wrongdoing? How can He let us go and let us be free from that and be a just and a righteous God? Well, praise God. We preach a Jesus that satisfied the law. He paid the price for us. He took our place on the cross. No, you're not free in the sense that nobody pays for the crimes you commit. Somebody has to pay them for you. We believe in the substitutionary penal. That means the penalty, atonement of Jesus Christ. He took our place. He took our punishment and He set us free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Yeah, so praise God. I assure you, listen to me. Everybody in here, listen to me under the sound of my voice. I assure you with all of my heart that Christ was punished in your place for the sins and iniquities and transgressions that you committed. He took your place. That's what he did on the cross. That's what he was doing on the cross. This is not some fairy tale. This is not something for Hollywood to make a movie about. This is the only begotten Son of God taking our place, paying our price, being punished in our stead, bearing and enduring the wrath of God that we deserve. Folks, it's only because of Jesus Christ I have no fear of going into hell for the sins I have committed. I'm trusting in Jesus. Amen. I'm trusting in Him. And you, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can escape the punishment of hell. You won't be cast into hell if you'll trust in Jesus. Okay? If you believe in Him with all of your heart, your sins will be taken off of you and be laid upon the Savior. See, He was not only the Lamb of God before the foundation of the world, He is the Lamb of God today. That taketh away the sins of the world. Christ met the justice of God. He absorbed the wrath of God, and by His stripes we are. What are we? We're healed, set free from the punishment and condemnation of the law. This was the just for the unjust. So we're not only set free from the perils of sin, we are set free from the punishment of sin. If the Son make you free, you're free indeed. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've been to the cross. I looked on Him whom I pierced with my sins and my iniquities, and He set me free. Man, I'll tell you what. Oh, what great liberty. We are liberated from the perils of sin. We are in life. We are liberated from the punishment and penalty of sin. And thirdly, we're liberated from the power of sin. We are liberated from the power of sin, or the propensities of sin. Now, I'm old-fashioned. I believe that Christians ought to live like Christians. Okay. If you've been under the blood, you ought to live like it. The blood that set us free from the perils and the penalty and the punishment of sin also sets us free from the power of sin. We should be living victorious lives. We should be living in the heavenly sphere. See, this pardon that we experienced at the cross enables us to be overcomers. Remember the ones that John the Apostle saw in the 7th chapter of Revelation, the 14th chapter of Revelation? They came through great tribulation. They came through great chaos and trouble and peril. But what happened? He saw them and they had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I'm telling you, the people of the book of Revelation that John the Revelator saw, the saints that he saw, they were overcomers. Overcomers. And we ought to be overcomers today as well. Yeah. Yeah. They overcame things in life by the blood of the Lamb. And we should be overcomers today by the blood of the Lamb. Not only were they delivered from the guilt and the power and the penalty and the punishment of sin, they were delivered from the power of sin. Power of sin. I'm talking about the marks of maintaining Christian liberty. We ought to live like sin Oh, I know, I know, I know, I know. Somebody's going to come along. Oh, you're start preaching like Pentecostals, you know, that you can live above sin. No, I'm not. I realize that, you know, sin, we're not perfectly free from sin. It's still in us. It's a constant struggle, right? But the Bible teaches us not to let it have place in our lives. Isn't that what it teaches? That's what it says. Don't let it have place in your life. And yes, it's a warfare. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We should live lives of victory by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Free indeed. Free, free indeed. I'm free from death. Death doesn't have the meaning it once did. Once you get saved, death doesn't have the same meaning, does it? I mean, to die, for a Christian, to die is what? Really? Do you really believe that? If you tell the world that, they think that you are off your rocker, that you have gone mad, that you are crazy because you believe that death is a blessing. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. I'm telling you, it is a blessing. You know why? Because we have been freed from death. Our Savior went down into the grave, and on the third day, He arose victorious, and He's alive. He's alive. And because He lives, I'll live also. Isn't that good? Yeah, freed from death. Death. Oh, yeah. You know what? When people die in the Lord, they don't die. They just go to sleep. They just sleep in Jesus, don't they? Their souls go back to God who gave it. We know that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them that sleep in Jesus, God will bring with Him. Where are they? They're with God. And what's going to happen at the second coming of the Lord? They are going to come with Him. Yes! Read the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Who are those folks on the white horses behind Jesus? They're those that have gone on before us. That are in heaven, that are believers. Well, let me give you a really profound statement of Christ. He said, if you believe that I am He, if you believe that I am the Son of God, you'll never die. He asked Mary and Martha, y'all believe this? Huh? If you believe I am the resurrection and life, you'll never die. We don't die. We go home. We go to heaven. Let me say just a little bit about the positive aspects of being free. Well, one of the positive aspects of being free is the privilege to call ourselves the Son of God. What manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Wow! We are the children of God. We are the apple of His eye. Not only that, but He is our Father and He's a good Father. I heard that song that Roxanne sung on the radio, "Come to Church." And it just blessed my heart. Oh, I have a good Father. Sometimes I call Him Daddy. I say, "Abba, Father." What a blessing. I have a Father. And because He's my Father, when I go through trials, when I get into trouble, I can go to Him. I can go to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace in time of trouble. Y'all know about that? What a privilege to be able to bow on your knee and get a hold of God. I'm free to come into the presence of God because the blood of Jesus is upon my sins and He treats me as though I have never sinned. I can come into the Holy of Holies. Oh, whoa. Folks, that doesn't happen unless the Son makes you free. Once you've been made free, you can go into the presence of God. You can plead all the promises of God. You're free to sit down at the table of the Lord. Now, most of us feel like Mephibosheth, don't we? Oh, we're crippled and undeserving and unworthy, and we're dragging our old limp leg. Tiffany don't like me preaching on that. She says, why? Every time I preach on Mephibosheth and angels, she says, why do angels always limp? I don't know. But Mephibosheth, he is dragging his own old self up to the table of King David. Oh, one of the descendants of Saul that David saved. And he showed Mephibosheth, who dwelt in Lodabar, which is the lowliest, most disgusting place, the lowly place. He showed Mephibosheth favor for Jonathan's sake. We get to go to the table of God because of the favor of Jesus Christ. And we get to sit at the king's table. And Mephibosheth had the privilege, and I didn't even mean to go here, but anyway, Mephibosheth had the privilege of sitting at David's table, the king's table, the rest of his life. And all of the inheritance of Saul was restored to him. Wow! Because of the relationship between Jonathan and David. Ah, free to claim all the promises. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, laid up for us in heaven, reserved for us. Amen? What a blessing. Ah, we're free to sit at the table as sons. Ah, I've got to hurry up. One of the positive aspects of being set free, you have to be set free by the Son and be free indeed before you could be a member of the Lord's church. Now, I know that's an old-fashioned Baptist doctrine. It's not practiced nowadays in a lot of churches, but it's practiced here. You're free to enter the church after you've been set free. And not until you've been set free. The church is comprised of regenerated members. In other words, people that are saved. Amen? I know this is craziness going on in some churches and with some preachers. They think, well, we'll just get them in and get them saved later. No, this is the church of the true and living God. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. And Jesus made it very clear that they need a profession of faith before they go into the waters of baptism. You're not free to enter the church, but the positive aspects of that is that we're part of the church. What a blessing. Isn't it a blessing to be in the church? Another positive aspect of the church is you're free to partake of the ordinances. These are church ordinances. They're not world ordinances. We don't open them up to the world. They are for believers who have been baptized. Especially, well, it's only two ordinances. But the Lord's Supper is for saved people. It is for church members. It is for followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who are demonstrating with their life that they are living up to the principles and of Jesus Christ and trying to adhere to the doctrines and precepts that He left for us to maintain. But it's a positive privilege. Man, I'll tell you what. One of the greatest joys of my life after I got saved was the privilege of eating at the Lord's table. Y'all remember the first time you ate? I was young. Man. And then when my kids got saved. Now I'll tell you something. And I'm just telling you the honest truth. You got to be set free before you can come to the table of the Lord. You got to be part of the Lord's church before you can be at the table of the Lord. This thing about letting kids take of the table before they're saved is wrong. It's not biblical.
is not scriptural and is contrary to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Of course, Aaron did it one time. We went to a modern church. Another story for another time. Of course, they only serve crackers and grape juice. I was upset. But I will say this. At this church, that's not going to happen. There are many positive privileges to being set free. Not only partakers of the ordinances, but we get to enter into the rest. I'm talking about the Sabbath rest. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Because we are set free, we get to go into the celestial city, the New Jerusalem. Because we are free, we get to go around the throne of God, the throne of the Lamb. Many blessings. We get the blessings of eternity because we've been set free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. What a privilege. What great privilege. Well, I'm going to try to close. If you will come to Jesus Christ, Christ will set you free. Notice there's two words in here I want you to recognize. In the 8th chapter of John, the word if, kind of a subjunctive mood. If you come, and if you come to the Son. Listen, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You must be saved through Jesus. Through Jesus. Only Jesus has the right to pardon you. Only the Son can set you free. You can't go to Muhammad. You can't go to some preacher or some church or some system. You must come to the Savior. Amen. Only the Son can set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. He's the one that kept the law. Bible says He has all power in heaven and earth. Aaron, get a song. I'm about done. He alone took your place. He alone sits at the right hand of the Father. He alone is the advocate. He alone offered the sacrifice. He alone was the only begotten Son of God. He alone kept not only the law, but took your place and paid the price for you. So He alone can set you free. He alone can set you free. Are you free? Are you free? I contend those that are free bear the marks of that freedom. Bear the marks of that freedom. They understand moving from being enslaved to sin to becoming a son. Let me challenge those of you that are saved and free. Why would you ever encourage others to stay in bondage? Sin is public enemy number one. You're free from sin. And others are not free from sin. But those that are really free of sin, one of the main marks, if you're really free from sin, you want to see others freed from sin. You want to see others come to the Savior and be set free. Sin is a bondage. It keeps you shackled. And only the Son can set you free. All right, I'm going to try to stop. I appreciate you listening to me today. Let's continue to bear the marks. You know, we can backslide. And we end up going back to those elementary principles of the world rather than setting our affections on things above. Free people set their affections on things above. Free people press toward a mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Free people have a vocation that is heavenward. And they fix their eyes on spiritual things. Let's maintain that in our church. Let's not go back to those beggarly elements of the world. Oh no, those principles of the world that keep others shackled. Let's live like we are free. Because if the Son makes you free, you're really free. I believe you're free forever. Stand your feet. I don't think you ever can be back in the bondage of sin. Once free, always free. I didn't have time to get to indeed. But indeed means it's irreversible, irrevocable. Once you're free, you're always free. Okay? When you're free from the penalty, you're free from the perils, you're free from the power of sin. You might say, well, I've seen Christians get back into sin, live terrible lives. Yeah, well, if you're one of His children, He might just come after you and take you home. Sins have to be canceled. They have to be covered by the blood of Jesus. And if you're set free by the Son, you are indeed forever free. Forever free. Let's sing.